We hardly pick up a magazine or a paper today without being warned against the horrible menace of junk food. Junk foods are those which please the palate and do nothing for the system. But they have been popular for a long time. There's probably no creature that enjoys sugar as much as an elephant. And lumps of sugar were a joy to the policeman's horse when I was a small boy. And it is still a tremendous attraction for hummingbirds. They do not seem to realize the menace of it all. Or perhaps it doesn't affect them in that way. But if we are of a philosophical mind, we realize that from the beginning of the human struggle for self-improvement, there has been emphasis upon the importance of appropriate nutrition, not of the body alone. The dietitians can take care of that if they'll ever decide what is the best diet. But there are other levels which have to be considered. Emotional nutrition is very important. And the Platonists and Neoplatonists believed firmly that the mind had an appetite, that it had to be fed, and that minds that are not fed get sick, wither up, and sometimes actually die. The mind has to be fed, and food must be appropriate to the needs of the instrument itself. The mind lives on ideas. It lives on various important discoveries. And it is provided for us in order that we may be able to solve problems, expand ideas, find various new outlets for creativity, and also to settle down to the gentle process of self-analysis for the redemption of our own natures. The mind is important. Some people do not believe in it at all. But most who are thoughtful realize that nature has never given us a faculty that we did not need. It is not the faculty, but the use and abuse of it that become the major determining factors. Now, what is the mind fed these days? Well, it is fed some news, which is more or less imaginary and highly commercialized and under political supervision. It is fed a variety of entertainments, most of which are not very entertaining as far as I'm concerned. It has a wonderful opportunity to enjoy sports. Well, sports are enjoyable. Many people like them. So the bleachers are usually well filled. Then there are other activities. We have people who like good music, which is feeding not only the mind, but the emotions. But we must admit that the mind has a job. It cannot sit back and simply luxuriate. It is not something that we support for no good reason. The mind is here to help us to do things that we think are worthwhile. Now, man is a few days in this world. If he lasts 80, 90 years, he's done very well. But during this period of time, he has faculties to develop, experiences to accumulate and interpret, and new ideas to generate within himself. He has a job from the day he is born, because nature's primary intention is that he should leave this world a little better than he came into it. In order to make use of the faculties with which we are endowed, we have to consider the type of nutrition that we demand for them, and also realize that they are not here simply to be catered to. There are many lazy minds.
that simply wish to do nothing, or as little as possible. Among these are the ones who spend a fortune to have other people do their thinking for them. Well, that is just about as profitable as trying to find someone else to digest our dinner for us. It is only what we do for ourselves that becomes important. We are at the present time paying vast sums to people who are doing jobs we should be doing for ourselves. But we are not willing to learn how. And if we do know and become a little more financially adequate, we will not even use the knowledge we have. We will hire someone else to do it for us. Well, we cannot do any hiring on the level of the mind. It is true that we can listen and read and instruct ourselves on good literature. We can attend courses. We can study arts and sciences. These things we can do. But this is only the providing of the raw materials. These various assets are the shingles and the bricks and the cement. But each of us must build the house for himself. We have to take the knowledge that is circulating, assimilate it, understand it, and apply it to our own needs. If we would be more thoughtful in meeting our own needs, we would live a little longer at least and be happier while we're here. To waste mental energy is to deplete our resources and lower the standard of our essential living, not simply our material and physical environment. How are we going to go about this problem of nourishing the mind? Well, we can assume for a moment that it's just like the body. And if we were trying to get the physical body into the best possible condition, what might we do? Well, the Greeks would tell us, and mostly also Oriental peoples, that the first thing you have to do to keep a body healthy is keep it clean. And that's the same with the mind. In order to have a healthy mind, we must have a clean mind. We must have a mind that appreciates good things and naturally turns away from that which is defiling of its nature. So we have to clean out of the mind that which is likely to prove detrimental. We have to clean out of it things that are not worthy of the mind or of the human being who owns the mind. We have to keep our thinking upon a constructive, idealistic, and creative level. We must do the same thing that we do for the body, because the wrong type of mental material is smut, and that is something we cannot afford if we want a good mind. Now, the second thing that we have to do physically in order to have fair health is to develop a proper series of exercises. The body must be kept as alert and active as conditions permit. The same is true with the mind. The mind must be used, and it must be used well. To use the mind is to strengthen it. To abuse it is to destroy it. So the use of the mind means that actually we should think every day. We should learn something every day. And the incidents that occur to us should be given mental consideration. New experiences must be thought through. And if possible, old problems must have new solutions. The mind must be busy acquiring and using knowledge. If we do this, we have increasing its providence, we are increasing its health. Then we come to the third problem, and that is feeding it. The world in which we live is full of wonderful things. Every way we turn, we behold the wonders of nature and the achievements of human nature. We see the great arts and sciences that are flourishing around us. We behold architecture and psychology, medicine, law, all these fields of learning come to the attention of the mental eye. We see them intellectually, perhaps, rather than physically. We are surrounded by a universe of knowledge, and we have within ourselves an instrument to do something with that knowledge. We are not supposed to very carefully evade and avoid everything that might be of value or stimulation to us. In order to have the mind start out reasonably well, also, like the body and the person, a little education helps. And here it becomes a rather ticklish situation. Education is not generally very productive these days. Education does not help us, usually, to build a purposeful life. But one thing education can give us is routine. It can give us organization. It can place small responsibilities upon us so that we have the lessons each day when we go to school. The purpose of education primarily is to order living and to cause the individual to accept with a certain amount of grace the fact that he has demands upon him that he must meet. Having learned to discipline the mind, the individual then uses it for his own purposes. Doctor I know told me he took 11 years to get his medical degree. He graduated with honors, and after he graduated, he went to the School of Human Life, and there he learned all he ever knew. He did not learn his medicine in the university. He got his certificate there, but he learned it in practice. Now, the same is true with our mental activity in general. It is not the product of education. The professor who tells us what to think is making a great mistake, and we are making a great mistake by letting him do it. What we want to know is how to think, how to discipline the mind, how to apply its instruments. Like a carpenter working with his tools, we want to know how to use the mind to improve the total life. With this thought basically in our consciousness, we then begin to ponder the wasting of time. We only have a certain number of years, and also only have a certain part of those years suitable to mental activity. We cannot be as active mentally as we would like to be in an economic condition such as the one in which we live. We have to fight against worries and fears and anxieties and doubts. We have to be very careful that we do not end with a mass of prejudice that we can do nothing about. So we have to realize the importance of using mental time and mental energy for some reasonable purpose. Today, looking around us, we observe that one of the problems of humanity is that prosperity undermines thinking. The more we have, the more we want to enjoy, and the less we want to think. We are now trying to create a world which is a complete lifetime of vacation. We want to do only what we want to do all the time. Circumstances do not permit the full gratification of this impulse, but we try our best to escape every attitude or responsibility that interferes with having fun. Now, having fun for the average person mentally is the same as the junk food. Fun can be a contribution, but when we live for it alone and sacrifice everything for it, we soon find that it is not a substantial material. It does not nourish us adequately. Fun is important. There is no reason in the world why we should not enjoy living as much as possible. But fun that is completely devoid of intelligence and does nothing to nourish us or build anything into us should certainly be kept at a minimum. The real purpose of life is not just to have fun. But it is intended that we should help to build a world in which happiness is possible for all of us. But having fun and happiness may not be the same thing. But either one, happiness or fun, as the Arabian Nights tells us, must be earned. The individual must deserve happiness, or he will never experience it. He will get all kinds of false glamours, but they will fall apart and leave him as miserable as he was before. The mind, looking around, has to try to find a balance for living. We find in educating the mind, for instance, that it doesn't flourish on a mono diet. That's been tried also. There are also people of various religious aspirations who believe in extended fasts of the mind. In other words, don't think at all for long and extended time. Relax completely. Make the mind a blank. And in that way, overcome the tendency to worry about our own indolence. By not worrying about it, we think we dispose of it. It's the same thing with all forms of unfinished business. If we can get our minds off of them, we feel that it is a success. This is not a true fact, however. It is not that our minds should be worrying about them all the time, but that the minds should settle in quietly and solve worries as far as possible so that they simply will not return. With a proper nutrition, we can achieve most of this end. Now, we have a whole world of possibilities to attack and work with. And each individual is a person in his own right. And there are, therefore, many different approaches to the proper use of the mind. The main point is that it should be used to build something. There are those to whom art or music are the most important things in the world. There are others who are completely involved in science. There are some that wish to improve memory and some who'd like to forget what they still remember. There are all kinds of personality patterns. So each individual must come to some kind of a constructive conclusion in which he uses his mind to find out what is best for his mind to do. He has a right to use his mind to make decisions, but these decisions must also meet the requisites of his conscience and be suitable to his estate in life. Therefore, in the study of the mind's nutrition, we must decide what we want to do and then use the mind to help us to do it. The idea that the mind is a nuisance is a mistake. It is the misuse of it that is a nuisance. The mind is necessary to the fulfillment of nearly anything we want to accomplish, secular or religious. Now, there are many who want to use the mind for big problems. Such problems, for example, as answering the mystery of life itself. But the mind also, if we are intelligent, reminds us that there are things it cannot do. And the individual who uses the mind for purposes which the mind cannot fulfill is making a mistake. Now, the minds of different persons are of varying degrees of development. Some can think a little further into the depth of things than others. But there is always a limitation. The mind cannot solve that which is superior to its own nature. Not being able to solve, it rationalizes. Now, the rationalizations of the mind are derived from various experiences of living. We try to understand the causes of things by studying their effects. We seek to keep faith with the universe by observing small areas in which we can understand the workings of the divine plan. We are constantly seeking to know more of the reason for ourselves. And the mind is one of the instruments that we must use. But the mind itself must be trained to recognize its own limitations. On the material plane of things, in daily action, employments may involve mentality. Some of them are largely physical, but nearly all do require a certain amount of mental effort as a support and organizer of skills and abilities. Therefore, because we have to use the minds in the physical world to make the necessary adjustments to advance careers, so in our larger living, the living which involves our place in a divine plan of things, the mind must also be employed. It must be given every possible cooperation and help. Now, some minds have been spoiled by their owners, and a great many have been left comparatively undeveloped. When the mind becomes the servant of ambition, or the mind develops within a person lacking moral integrities, the mind can lead to one disaster after another. The mind can produce a criminal just as quickly as it can produce a saint. All depends upon the person in whom this mind is functioning. Now, most people do not really want to be evil. They do not want their mind to lead them into crime. They would far rather develop some useful outlet for their energies and for their ambitions. But there is still the danger that the mind will tempt the individual to an excess which is not good for him and is dangerous to his own future and happiness. So if day by day we work with this mind, leading it in one direction or another, and it leading us in one direction or another. It is a very interesting and mysterious instrument, and most individuals take it for granted. They don't question it. It never occurs to them to wonder how they think or why they think. It is something at hand to be used largely for the gratification of personal desires. This particular problem, however, is aggravated when the mind itself is seduced by circumstances beyond its normal control. Today, the world is suffering from a terrific headache. The mental processes of the individual have been so seriously distorted that it is now almost impossible to regain control of the creativity and positive thinking with which we associate the mental process. We are forced to admit that the mind has been subject to a kind of habit-forming psychic drug. This drug is made up of all the things that are happening in the world that are contrary to common sense and integrity. We are fed constantly with negative materials which finally do take hold of the mental equipment. The reason they take hold is because the mind itself is not being led by the person in whom it exists. If the mind is not led, it will lead. And when it leads in terms of all the indoctrination it has received. The mind, therefore, can be a tyrant. It can also cause us to accept situations that we should not tolerate for a moment. Usually, of course, the poor functioning of the mind, with its disaster-prone qualities, is the result of the fact that the mental equipment itself has never been educated, never been trained, and never been disciplined. So if we are wandering around with very forlorn attitudes, if we just feel that everything is wrong, the probabilities are that the mind has developed a toxic condition. It has become so nourished and fed and overfed by junk food that it is destroying our lives. Therefore, we have to clear it out and start over again. Most people find great trouble in starting over again on a new mental level. It means too much disrupting of the circumstances which have become part of the environment. The person no longer feels that he can start over again. But he can, to a measure, begin the process of reclaiming his own mind from the slough of despond into which it has fallen. It can be done at home, it can be done anywhere and everywhere. But the first thing, probably, that the average person just living along from day to day will find useful is to broaden the area of interests. The person who is interested in interesting things is beginning to gain control of his mental equipment. If he just wanders around waiting for someone to entertain him, waiting for something in the newspaper to frighten him, wait for some bad news which will justify what he always suspected. If this becomes the habit, the mind is being gradually deteriorated. To begin with, then, a little discipline. It's hard to go back to childhood. No one wants to go back to the time when they had to go around and say yes to all their elders, when they had all kinds of ideas of their own, which no one would let them express. We don't want to go back to a situation like that. But we have to begin sometimes with a new approach to a mind that may be a 10-year-old mind in a 50-year-old body. The mind that doesn't mature is the key to the real age of the individual. The physical body, of course, is subject to certain changes and ramifications and modifications with years. But the actual age of the person is determined by the maturity of his emotions and the integrity of his thinking. When these remain adolescent, age has no real meaning in terms of usefulness. And it is a really sad and tragic thing to imagine that persons can go from the cradle to the grave without growing. They can so adjust their lives to the fulfillment of creature comforts that nothing of importance occurs to them because they will not permit importance to be a part of their living. Most people think that importance means work. And if there's one labor we would like to escape, it is the labor of labor. We do not want it. And we come to the strange attitude that if it's good, it's unpleasant. All virtues are regarded as frustrations, just as all obedience to dietetic laws regarding junk foods, all such obediences are regarded as frustrations. We are told to give up the things we like the best, and there are very few that really make it, unless they have some very special inducement. Young ladies, for instance, can go on a starvation diet almost indefinitely for vanity's sake. But most people are not very vain about how their minds look. The body you can see, but you don't know what's on the mind until the individual opens his mouth. And then he is exposing a situation which is really more disgraceful than overweight or underweight of body. To really get to work on a mental life means that the person must develop mental interests. Now, today, almost all interest in this life and in this world is vested in wealth. The individual uses his mind to scheme with. He uses it to find ways of outwitting his neighbor. He also uses it as a way of shoddying goods and justifying sloppy work. The person today wants his intelligence to be directed toward the fulfillment of material ambition. Now, the mind can do a lot in that direction, but where the individual gets centered on this, there's another problem arises. The mind fails to tell him the facts of life because he is not listening to those. It's like the small boy who does not wish to listen to the experiences of his parents. The individual who is completely devoted to the fulfillment of his physical ambitions, who is going to be a senator even if he gets murdered afterwards, who is going to run for some public office simply because the salary is high, or having gotten that public office, spends various ways and means to find out how he can increase his salary. All these things are the focusing of the mind upon estates, upon swimming pools, upon campers, very long journeys, and of course an occasional trip to Las Vegas. These become the important things to work for. To work for every fulfillment possible. of physical comforts and desires. And yet the mind can tell us very quickly that it is all rather foolish. But even if the mind told us that, we don't believe it, because we don't want to. To spend a lifetime accumulating all that we can get of something that we must leave behind when we leave is something wrong with the idea. If we could take our wealth with us into some other dimension of space, there'd be a little justification. But there's very little actual mental satisfaction in leaving behind you a fortune which will ruin the next three generations. You might have to live somewhere on a cloud and watch your descendants misuse everything that you have left behind. On many instances, it's all gone in a year anyway. And yet the person himself worked a lifetime to accumulate it. And having accumulated it, sacrificed the spending of it in order to leave it to someone who did not appreciate it. All of this is bad thinking. All this ambition is mental junk food. And to live by it is to die very, very poor. Now, philosophy tells us, and common sense supports it, that we're not going to be able to take these things with us. We also learn from our common sense and our doctor that while we are here, overtaxing ourselves, exhausting our resources, and worried to death about things we can do nothing about, we are destroying what little life we have left. We are using, or abusing, wasting vital resources that should have been applied to something more significant. Now, this does not mean that we have to give up all hope of comforts or everything that is necessary to a decent living in this world. It is avarice, it is the overtaxing of our living and thinking, it's the gradual substitution of nothing but junk ideas for the processes of thought. So the time comes when we have to do something to change the pattern. You can consider it today in the present economic crisis, a crisis that results completely from a mistaken notion, namely that everybody on earth can be a millionaire at the same time. This would be a very beautiful thought, but not possible. And if all the wealth of the world was divided equally among everyone in the world, there isn't a one person in the million that would be satisfied. We just are not that way. We are not built with that kind of thinking. So if we want to get rid of our social problems, if we want to get rid of the probabilities of war, if we don't want to continue to be exploited by everything, if we hope someday to be able to find people who will do a day's work honestly, if we want these better things to happen, then we have to realize that there is within ourselves a faculty that can help to make them happen. But if it is used entirely for some other purpose and never gets down to the reason for its own existence, this faculty can continue to lead us astray for the next 10,000 years, because it all arises inside of ourselves. Now, against this situation, then, we have to say to ourselves, if I was dieting physically, I would eat the food that is best for me, if I really wanted to. If I didn't want to, I'd diet for a little while, then go back on the old regime. But presuming we want to have a better way of life mentally, we can begin to cut down the excesses, strengthen moderations, and take a healthy, normal, reasonable attitude toward life. Now, we may be overlooked a little by the more opulent if we do not join with them. But at the same time, it is far better for the person to have good health, a good home, happiness, a job that he likes, and all these things, than it is to go into this desperate, competitive effort to gain more than is proper or necessary. Now, a lot of people today realize this, but they are finding another difficulty. that has come along. We are coming into a generation of people in which mistakes have become the norm. The individuals themselves live in a world that is run by mistakes. And they find that it is very difficult to live in this world honestly without being heavily penalized. But that was also true on the dietetic level. Everywhere we look, television and everywhere where advertising exists, we see these luscious pastries, these wonderful cakes and cookies, these magnificent banquets, this distribution of highly specialized bottled goods, and everything you can think of. We're tempted every minute. And this is true in our mental world. We are tempted every minute to think badly. All we have to do is turn on the tube, and we will be given ample opportunity to wish we were not alive, or to fear that we will not be alive much longer. We pick up a paperback and find that a lot of literature now is explaining why the world won't last another 20 years. So we are being conditioned constantly. We are being frightened to death by situations which actually, if we think for a little while, are not nearly as real as we insist on making them appear to be. We have to realize that in order to get away from the hypnosis of our time, we've got to begin to use the mind ourselves for our own purposes instead of being the victims of the misuses of the mind by other people. Fortunately, each individual, in a wonderful way, is a fortress unto himself. Each of us can live just about as well as we want to. We're going to have to sacrifice some things. If we want to be healthy physically, we've got to sacrifice a number of bad habits. If we want to be healthy emotionally, we have got to sacrifice a number of unfortunate and destructive emotional attitudes. If we want to be a truly intelligent human being, we must sacrifice attitudes and ideas and convictions and prejudices and opinions which are destroying our humanity and leaving us completely victim of the general problem of society. So, it's up to us whether we wish to do some of these things or whether we wish to drift along until the sod is placed over us. So if we decide that we're going to try to do something about it, then there is, incidentally, I've noticed, a way of doing some of these things that is quite interesting. For a long, long time, there have been people who have tried to do things better. These people we have called reformers, and for the most part, they are among the most unpleasant of our memories. Very few people want to be reformed. But they would love to reform other people. That's taken for granted. But there have been experiments in society. There have been countries. There have been generations of people who tried to do it right. And for the most part, their efforts have been recognized and have been recorded. So one of the exercises of the mind of the average person is to investigate how average persons all over the world have thought and acted in order that they might live intelligently. There's been a great deal of that type of effort actually made. Now it is beginning to sneak into competition, too. There are a few folks now that are beginning to realize that you cannot expect to live securely if you abuse the privileges of life that you enjoy. We are also beginning to realize that the individual who is not interested in what he's doing really doesn't deserve to be paid for it. We find out that Albert Hubbard was correct when he noted that the average individual in the United States in his day, which was quite a while ago, was earning $100 a day. But in most instances, a part of that, sometimes 90% of it, had to be paid to someone to watch the man do what he was supposed to do. So we were paying out of our own earnings whatever is necessary to keep us in line, to help us to do it right, or to guard us against the tendency to abuse the privileges that we have. If we want to try to solve this situation a little bit in our own living, we can very often do a great deal to straighten out the problems of life. One, for example, is a very important one, amusement. Now, we have to have some of it. The individual who no longer enjoys anything in life has not been using his mind well either. It is quite right and proper for persons to enjoy themselves within reason, within a proper distribution of their available funds. I think the Oriental peoples, I have some figures, we don't want to go into names and places, but that at least in several Oriental countries, out of wage earnings, savings will run up to 15% and 18%. That is, those countries do not begin to have the financial level that we have, but they are able to save out of their earnings. This country with the largest earning and the highest salaries in the world is not able to save 5%, because the moment it comes in the front door, it is spent. It is spent on everything you can think of. At the present time, this spending is affecting the banking system. It is endangering the Federal Reserve system. It is creating continuous unemployment. It is vitally affecting the quietude of the mind of practically every citizen. So, there comes the mind now. The mind has to settle down and serve the owner. It must tell him what he can spend safely and why he cannot spend something else safely. It will tell him why he should be wise to drive the car he has until it is paid for before he turns it in on another one. He may also learn that he can live a little longer without a houseboat, or that it is not absolutely necessary for him to spend the type of funds that are now being wasted in restaurants. There is no possible way in which an individual or even a family can eat the price of some of the meals that are being served today. And everybody goes out. Why? Because it is glamorous. They love to go and spend 4 or 5 times what is necessary. As a result of this procedure, the bankruptcies of restaurants is increasing rapidly.